30 20 5 4 3 2 1
Ignition sequence start.
This is just the beginning.
Are you ready?
Here comes the best part.
1 2 3
Go. Life Matters, a two-time winner of the best morning show in Wisconsin, hosted by Nancy Douglas and Tom Giovannone.
All of you, get ready.
Life Matters begins on Lake 96.1.
Good morning, Tom. This is Life Matters. I am Joni in for Nancy one more time, and I appreciate the opportunity. And we were just talking off the air about jury duty.
About your jury duty.
Yeah, I got the summons. Got the summons, so I call in Friday night to see if I go in Monday.
Did you feel like you won a prize? Congratulations, you've been selected for jury duty?
I'm one of those people that I want to do it. It's logistics with, you know, outside life happens.
Yeah.
But that happens to everybody.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But
so have you been a juror before?
Never.
Is this your first time? Oh, okay.
Never. And
well, that'd be cool.
I know. I'm kind of excited.
Yeah. Most people are like, oh, how do I get out of this?
No, I kind of want to do it. I know.
Well,
I don't know. I'm weird that way.
For years, I was that way. I didn't want to do it. I would be the guy that opened it up and went, congratulations. This isn't a congratulations. This is a, hey, I got you kind of thing, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, it was, well, a year or two after I retired, I got a summons. And I went down, you know, did my thing, go in, sit down, because my number came up, sat down, sitting there. And they're going through jury selection. I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. They're never going to pick me. I'm a retired police officer.
Right.
And it was a criminal trial. And long story short, I got picked. And I'm looking at the judge, who I know, because I've been doing this for a couple of years.
Wow.
Like, with this look of terror going, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
And when I was in the final selection, he actually had said that, he personally knew me and, you know, that I had been in law enforcement for a long time and all that stuff. And when they, you know, they'll do questioning. When they get down to a certain number of jurors, they start questioning you with some preloaded questions so they can make a decision on who they want, who they don't want.
Can they ask you anything?
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know of any limitations. They ask me a lot.
Yeah.
I felt like, honest to God, I felt like I was on trial.
Interrogation
from the defense attorney, not so much interrogation, but she was doing her job and she was asking me a lot of vetting questions.
Okay,
do we want to keep them or do we want to get rid of them? And the defendant wanted to keep me. She wanted me scratched off, and he's like, no, we need him. We want him on. So I was chosen as one of the jurors, and the rest of the jury voted me as foreman.
Okay.
And it was interesting. And, you know, I didn't want to do it. The whole process, I'm going, oh, my God, I'm going to be here forever. Didn't want to do it. And when we went back in and they're giving us jury instructions and all that, it's like, this is kind of cool. Because, you know, for over 30 years, I was on the other side. I was sitting there waiting to testify. I didn't need to worry about nothing because all I'm doing is telling the truth. And,
right.
You know. It was court. It was simple. You go in and testify to what you did, what you saw, all that stuff. But to be on the mechanical end of what the jury's doing, it was an eye-opener.
I wonder about, I have no idea, you know, if I'll get picked, but, you know, you do the what-ifs in your head, and I'm like, what if it's hard to make the decision, right? You know, beyond reasonable doubt, evidence, what if I struggle with that, and what if you make the wrong decision, or what, you
right.
know?
Well, you know, that was a really interesting thing for me. So it was a criminal trial. It wasn't this egregious thing, but there was some felony charges. And when we went into deliberation, I did what I was supposed to do. And we took votes on, there was three charges. And we voted on the first two. And everybody said guilty. And the last charge, and I want to go into detail on it just in case. I just don't want to. But the last charge, there was questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I had tried to explain my side of it, or, you know, where I was coming from. And some people were acceptant, some weren't, you know, but you're getting it. I'm kind of biased being a police officer. We wanted to see some more evidence. We went in and saw that and came back. And I said, well, we need to discuss this and revote. Well, I was pretty much done because there were other jurors that were giving feedback to the rest of the jurors. You know, so a lot of people felt that I swayed the jury to find this person guilty, and I really didn't.
Huh.
It was other jurors going, no, I get it. You know, and they would explain it or talk about it, whatever. But it was interesting. The process was interesting. I think we were done by like 5 p.m. So I guess it was a long day because I think we were there at 7.
Yeah.
7:30, something like that. But it did not seem like a long day when I left.
Okay.
It was really interesting.
It was enjoyable. I am interested in the process. Yeah, and
I would do it again.
Okay. Well, you may have to.
Maybe once.
I mean, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you come up every time. Actually, I just went through a process in December, and I did my weekly call-in every day, every other day, whatever it is, because I don't remember, and I never had to show up. So
okay.
Maybe they didn't want me again. I don't know.
Right? Well,
but it was
good.
How
do you become a foreman? Like the group just kind of decides
who? You have to be voted by the jurors. So what happened to me is when we went back into the juror room or deliberation room, they started asking me questions about my past, and because it was brought up in front of everybody that I was in law enforcement.
Right.
And somebody had said that we needed to pick a foreman. I think it was one of the court employees came in and said that. And one of the guys said, well, I think we just have the officer do it. And I went, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not saying no, but I don't want you guys to just throw this on me. You need to talk about it. This needs to be a decision. I'm not just taking over.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I don't want to be in that spot. But that was a unanimous decision, and that's what we did.
Okay.
So
interesting. I have a friend that just actually, it's funny, he just had his stint last week, had to do the call-ins. He had a 3-day trial, and
he
was an alternate, so he said, you know, he took notes and listened, and but didn't ultimately have to make the decision. But
so he got to sit in court for 3 days.
Yeah, yeah. But he said it's kind of like hurry up and wait.
Yeah,
like the day can kind of go like that because there are down times, and then, you know, there are times preparation times, deliberation times.
Right. And there's a format. I mean, there's a way that they need to do things, and the jury needs to be removed so they could talk about stuff and then brought back in. And so, yeah, there's a lot of monkey motion stuff going on. But yeah, 3 days, I didn't have to do 3 days. That would be kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah. He said it was really interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Because if I'm on trial, I don't want a juror that's disconnected. I want them listen to what's going on and paying attention and, you know,
kind
of stuff.
If you're on either side, if you're the defendant or the one being brought, you know,
right,
whichever side you're on, you better darn sure hope your jury's paying attention.
Well, you know, it is a very important job, and the people that are put in the position that they need to be a juror, I hope they all take it very seriously, and I think most people do. The exceptions to every rule, of course, but I think for the most part they are. I know the group that I was with were engaged. They were serious about it. So
interesting.
Yeah. So that's good.
Different in the different makeup, like demographics, young, old, female.
We were all over the board.
Okay. Wouldn't you want your jury to be varied like that?
I would.
You wouldn't want a panel of all 6-year-old Caucasian men or 18-year-old kids or, you know,
right.
You would want a variety.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, because it's not one person making that decision. It's everybody.
Yeah. And it has to be unanimous, right? At least in your case, I need to call my brother-in-law, who's a lawyer.
Yeah, I think yes, it does, because if it's not, it's considered a hung jury, and that could be a mistrial. Yeah, I believe you're right.
And
I have this in my head that there's an exception to it, but I don't know enough about it to really say yes or no on
right,
that,
right.
But I believe you're right.
And it's not like the movies, right? you can't handle the truth.
No. Well, I've never seen any court go that way. I've never seen an attorney do that. And not like I was in court every day, but...
Yeah, you had to testify sometimes, right?
Right.
As a police officer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Several times, actually. But as far as in the jury room, there's not the sweating and the yelling and screaming and throwing and fights. And I was with a great group of people. They were real professional about it.
Nice.
It was, even when there was a disagreement, you wouldn't have seen it as a disagreement. It was a conversation.
Which is what you should have.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it was really pretty. It was very interesting, but relatively uneventful.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what
no
I will expect.
Thrown. Yeah.
That's a good thing,
I
think.
Wow, this is lame.
Well, I will find out tomorrow evening after 6:45. And, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Well, let us know.
I will. So, just to preview what's coming up, Tom, you know Gator.
Yep.
So, our next guest, that's okay, hit the chair on the desk.
Yeah, Gator's coming in. Gator is one of our local guys. He's heavily involved in fundraising, a motorcycle fanatic like myself, and he has organized several rides. He does the Rick's Ride and other fundraising events. He's coming in to talk to us about the Valor Brigade ride, which is run by Gary and Jill Gunderson, but they're unavailable today. So Gator's filling in for him, and we'll chat with him.
Yeah, it will be well worth your while to hear about this ride coming up and how cool it is. So that's coming up next on Life Matters on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
It's another edition of Life Matters. I'm Joni Myers. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you hanging with us. I got Tom, thank goodness, my cohort in crime, at least on Life Matters.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Small crimes.
Right. And today we have a great special guest who is just going to kind of run this show, I think.
Well, you know, he's got a lot to say.
Well, that's good.
Got a big ride coming up.
Because we're going to introduce the Valor Support Brigade, right?
That is correct.
All right. So tell me, what is it?
Well, it started out as a group of people on motorcycles deciding to raise some money for local veterans, and it kind of morphed itself. I mean, this has been around for almost 17, 18 years now. It kind of kept getting legs, and money was then donated to individual veterans, and then they decided to get a little bigger, and then it was going to the Fisher House, and then it got a little bigger from that. And then we decided we better make it legal, so we became an actual 501c3 and got an accountant and everything. And we've been picking causes for the last few years to specifically hone in on honor flight, vets role, Project Veteran Muscle, which is a local gym that gives back to all the veterans. They go in there, they can get help. There's support there from therapists, trainers, and basically other veterans themselves, so they can actually get together and support each other. That was last year's cause. That gym used to be here in Lake Geneva, and then it was moved to Elkhorn.
Oh, okay.
So they're still in Walworth County.
Nice.
But they got a bigger facility, and because they're growing. So it's really a neat place if you're, you know, looking to help somebody. That's another good cause.
So let's back up just a little bit. So you started with a group of guys doing rides,
mm-hmm.
and raising money for good causes,
mm-hmm.
right? Was there a leader? Was there, like, was it just,
well,
you know, we're out having a burger and a beer and, hey, let's do this?
Gary Gunderson. Everyone knows him as Gundy. And his wife, Jill, pretty much ended up spearheading this thing. They're both very benevolent people, excellent givers to whatever cause comes their way. So they've been spearheading this one. I support Gary on this one, and he supports me in another nonprofit that I do. But Gary's been the lifeblood behind this whole thing for a long time. And it just kind of morphed itself. And it, as I said, we got more and more people being interested in it. So what are you going to do this year? Where are we going this year? How is this going to work? So it was one of those things where, okay, I guess we have to do it. You know, there's no backing off on this now. So foot's down on the pedal, and we just it just keeps going. So
it gets better every year.
Yeah, okay. You said 13 years?
18 years.
Oh, 18.
Yeah, it's been going for a while.
Been going for quite some time.
Holy cow. Yeah. And it's growing. Like, how many did you start out with originally?
Well, I think the original, it was like 6 or 8.
Yeah.
And that was before I got involved in it. And now I think the last ride we had 60. So,
nice.
And there's different events throughout the year. There's meat raffles that we're doing. We used to do the Brat Hut on Veterans Day in Elkhorn at the Piggly Wiggly. I don't think we're going to do that this year. When it was Frank's, they were very, very giving and helpful. And it's changed a little bit, so we're going to back off from that one. But we've got other things in mind.
Other things in the hopper.
Other things in the hopper.
You got to keep moving and keep changing it up.
Yeah.
Keep sure people that, interested.
Yep.
Okay, so I live in Lake Geneva, and you'll see groups of motorcycles, riders riding through, and you can tell, you know, they're together, they're doing things, you know, invariably. So do you guys give each other a hard time about what you ride?
Actually, no.
No? Okay. Nope. I don't know. I just, because sometimes you see these beautiful, decked out, incredible, and then, you know, there's this little wee. That's going along with them, and I'm like, it's like, does that guy belong with that group?
Well, there are people that might look at it that way. We don't. I don't care what you ride. You're on two wheels, you're a brother of mine, you know. And actually, this particular event is open to four wheels, two wheels, three wheels, whatever you're on. Doesn't matter. So classic cars, motorcycles.
Oh.
Scooters.
Mopeds. Doesn't matter.
You can open this up then you want to get involved, you can.
It's a ride. It doesn't matter what you're on.
Right. I mean, you don't have to be on a motorcycle to help people out.
Nope.
You know, especially when it's veterans.
Yeah. That's a cause that is very near and dear to our hearts.
Well, you guys look cool. I mean.
What, being on a motorcycle?
Yeah.
Because it is cool. It's the funnest place to be.
Right.
You never hear a biker talk about a bad day riding.
Never?
Every day riding's a good day.
Even if it's storm and rain and wind.
You're wet in the shower, don't you?
Well.
And we're not that sweet. We don't melt.
No.
I just know what bikes do to my hair if I don't have
If you may notice, I don't have a problem with hair. It's a little bit shorter than normal.
You get that split in the beard, though.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, no, it's, I don't know, riding is, it's not a lifestyle, but it's kind of a calling. It's just something you enjoy.
It's a therapy.
I love it, yeah. It's.
I ride my motorcycle to work, right? So it's great. I have a hard time getting off of it sometimes when I get there, but I do ride my motorcycle.
One more time around.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe because you were sore.
No.
No, God, no.
And
he's 100% right. There was, you know, when I was still working for the PD, there was days or mornings that I didn't get home right away because I needed to get rid of a bad night or whatever. And you just go for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know where you're going. Don't know where you're at until you get there most of the time. But when you get home, it's gone and you feel better.
Nice.
It is definitely therapy.
Put everything away.
Yeah.
Gives you that time. So you get home, you don't take it out on the kids or the wife or whatever. It's You're calm again. You're just oof.
You guys should start like a motorcycle therapy club.
It's called a dealership.
That's right. I was going to say we don't need to because everybody who rides is already in it.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you have a ride coming up.
Yes, we do.
When is that?
That is the 18th, and we're running that out of Sideways Bar and Grill. That's on Highway O. Just outside of Delavan.
Okay.
It's the old Scoops.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows the old Scoops.
Right.
So it's registration's at 8:30 in the morning. Kickstands are up at 10 or doors closed at 10 or whatever you want to, whatever you're
leaving
on,
at
whatever
10.
You're in, we're leaving at 10. It's going to be a fairly local ride. We're going to do Pat's Brew and Q, and then we're going to go to Boxcars, then the Boar's Nest, and then back to Sharon, or back to Sideways, excuse me.
Okay.
So.
And then at each stop, I like, what do you do at each stop? There'll be
50-50s and, you know, camaraderie, talk, see what, you know.
A lot of laughter.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Okay. And then can people go just to those locations?
Sure.
I mean, you can, oh, I'm going to be in the area of
such and such.
You can just show up.
It's $30 to get in on the ride if you're going to do the whole thing. So, and when we get back to Sideways, there's going to be a taco bar there for all the riders. And she's setting that up. So there's tacos and a taco bar. And it's going to be music in the afternoon, 3 to 5. So have a band going. So it's going to be a very, very fun day.
Right on. Tell me about the details about where's the moolah going and what's
okay,
it going to be
so,
used for?
As I said, we usually pick a cause every year.
Right.
This year, we're going to be donating all of our funds to One Soldier, One Dog, One Team. It's a nonprofit organization that was started by a FDNY fire department, New York Fire Department, retiree who was also a Navy veteran. He was involved in the Twin Towers situation. He ended up having to retire because of ailments that he had serving on that day and the subsequent days after when he was working the rubble pile. So his health has declined because of that, and he had to retire. Didn't quite know what he was going to do with himself after that, but he also had a passion for dogs, loved dogs, and he hated seeing the number of dogs increasing in the shelters and being put down because nobody wanted them. So he also knew that there were 22 veterans a day taking their own lives, which is a staggering number that people don't really understand. It's you don't think about it because it didn't happen in your hometown, but it's happening in the United States, 22 a day, and it's sad. So he decided that he was going to pair these dogs that nobody wanted with these veterans that needed help and create a team. So it's very moving. I mean, we met him last year during the Harley 120th at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. He had a booth set up, and he was there talking about, you know, everything that he's done. Talked about the Twin Towers. He talked about, you know, September 11th. And he gets his, what do I want to say, his inner peace now from doing this by pairing these dogs with these veterans and seeing the changes in both of them.
Wow.
So it's really powerful.
Yeah.
You know, you get choked up talking about it sometimes.
Well, he's probably helping himself as much as he's helping the vets and the dogs.
That is correct.
You know, and it's just a win-win all the way around.
All the way around. And Gary Gunderson, the one who spearheads this whole thing, he and his wife are huge supporters of the animal shelter in Walworth County here. And he saw this, and it was immediately, that was their thing. You know, this is involving dogs. This is, you know, dogs that need help. They need people.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary and Jill are huge supporters. They run several events for the animal shelter every year. So it was just a natural fit. We both looked at each other, and it's like, yeah, we got to do this one.
Wow.
So, it's an awesome event, and it's an awesome cause. So that's what our money is going to go to this year. We've already raised over $1,000 through a meat raffle that is going to be going to them. So this is a run. We have another meat raffle coming up. I believe on the 29th of June at
Churchill's.
Yeah, Churchill's is helping us out. So
okay, and then is the meat donated? How does that work?
Well, it's taken out of the proceeds. So you do get the meat for a reduced cost because that's another thing that the whoever's selling it will cut their cost down, maybe to their cost, so you can raise more money for your event.
Right.
Yeah, you just pay for the meat, and everything else goes in your pocket.
Nice. So this, the gentleman who started this, who was part of 9/11, is this national? I mean, does he go around to different states? And
he this is what he does.
Okay, and you met him last year at the Harley event, and then, you know, the perfect marriage. Oh, we've got this great animal shelter. This will be we have a need in the area. So the money that you're going to raise from this particular event, does it go to local veterans?
It will go, he is actually going to be working with Wayne Blanchard.
Okay.
Him and Wayne were together, as a matter of fact. If you
there's
look inside,
a picture of them together in this pamphlet.
In this pamphlet, yeah. So Wayne Blanchard has his herd of dogs, or pack of dogs, they call it. But, Tim has worked with Wayne. So they're working to pair locals, so that money will also help here.
Nice.
So is Tim Duffy is who you're talking about, the retired
Navy veteran.
Navy vet and firefighter. And is he going to be here for the event?
He will not be here for this event, but he will be at the anniversary party at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson again this year.
That'd be kind of nice to get you back in here, or you and Gundy back in here before that happens, and put that on air.
That would be awesome.
See if we can get some people up there to help you out.
It's just a real, real worthwhile cause. I met the man, and he's definitely a force. I mean, he's extremely passionate about what this whole thing means. So it kind of sucked us in.
Nice.
Can't wait to help him out.
If someone's listening right now, and they're a veteran and they want to reach out for help,
he has a website.
Okay.
It's One Soldier, One Dog, One Team, all lowercase, .us.
Okay, and the one is the, is one is the number one, not spelled out.
Digit one soldier, digit one dog, digit one team, .us.
Sometimes you just need the courage to reach out once, and that can change your life.
Correct.
And that's a really hard thing for vets to do, is ask for help.
Yep.
Because they're used to being the guys helping. You know, they're the strength. They're the solid element that keeps us going, keeps our country safe.
Right.
You know, and it's not easy to ask for help when you need it.
No, for a lot of things. So
right.
I can't even imagine. All right, let's get one more plug in. When, where, how do we sign up for this ride?
All right, May 18th at Sideways, just outside of Delavan on Highway O. Sideways Bar and Grill. Registration begins at 8:30 in the morning. Kickstands and doors closed at 10, and we're on our way.
Is there any pre-registration, or it's registration there?
Registration day of.
Perfect.
Nice.
So, again, it's $30 per ride. So, $30 a bike, $30 for a car, whatever it is.
Which is not a bad deal.
It's not a bad deal. Food when you get back, and a band, and...
Oh, a band.
A band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if you know, you had brought up, if you can't make the ride, can you go to one of the stops? The best stop to go to is the last stop, which is at Scoops.
The
old Scoops.
The old Scoops.
Scoops is stuck in my head. But go there, because that's where all the raffle prizes is. That's where the band is. That's where the fun is. You know, and you can enjoy yourself and donate, maybe take some stuff home with you.
You never know. You never know. There's going to be some good raffle baskets there, so.
All right. Well, fingers crossed for good weather. But as you seasoned riders say, well, I'm going to get wet in the shower anyway. So it's rain or shine, right?
Yes, it's rain or shine.
That's I've got plenty of rides in the rain.
Yeah. That's what they make that rain gear for, you know?
Mm-hmm. And no matter what happens, it's going to dry eventually.
Yeah. That's true.
Some of the most memorable and fun rides I've ever been on have been in lousy weather.
We went on a log cabin ride. I went with the CVMA 45-1 2 years ago, and it was pouring. We were the only ones riding, and it was a blast. We had fun.
You should see Tom's grin right now. He's
well. The funny thing, we're sitting at the bar, and there's puddles.
Yep.
Where everybody's sitting, there's just puddles, and the staff is coming around. It was the worst at the Dirty Hole. And they're coming around putting towels down by us to try and dry the floor up. But, you know, we were having a blast. And, yeah, it's rain. You get wet. Big deal.
Right.
Just One thing I do want to throw out there to everybody is when you see that big group of bikes riding, understand they're out there for a purpose. The majority of the times they're out there on some kind of fundraising event. Give them a little bit of room.
Please be patient.
Yep. Be patient with them. They'll be patient with you. Let them get through. And if it's raining, give them even more room, you know, because bikes don't stop quick in the rain.
Nope.
And even though we joke about riding in the rain not being a big deal, there is an element of risk to it because hydroplaning and all that stuff happens mm-hmm. just that much quicker.
You're not able to see as well either.
No, not at all.
And we don't have windshield wipers on our glasses.
No, and the finger does only stay there so long.
And it's not like you got anything on you can dry them off with.
Right.
Wonderful. All right. Gator, a pleasure to meet you.
It was very nice to meet you, too. Thank you so much for having
me. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it. Come support One Soldier, One Dog, One Team.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues.
It does. We're back.
I know.
After that short commercial break.
Yes. I am Joni. I'm here with Tom, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate it. Everybody listening.
Please keep doing that. We need you.
I know. Good stuff on this program, though. I mean, from a little bit of politics sprinkled in sometimes to events going on to fun things to serious things.
Yeah, we try to keep it mixed.
It's quite the ride.
I never know what we're doing when I get here.
Do you ever know what you're doing, Perry?
not really. But it's even more of a, you know, ride when I get here because I don't know.
Right.
But that's fine. It's fun that way.
Yeah, it is. And it's Mother's Day today.
It is Mother's Day today. So happy Mother's Day to all your mothers.
Yeah. Grandmothers, mothers-to-be, mothers-in-laws.
Mothers-in-training.
Mothers-in-training. Yeah. It's kind of a competition at our house between Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Mother's Day takes the cake at my house. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always ask for, we have a little flower box. That's really all I want. John plants flowers for me every year.
Nice.
And then usually the kid does something.
Amy does things with her mom and her sisters. They'll be doing that today, actually, shortly. She's probably leaving. And then when she comes home, it's gardening day.
Mm.
She does, you know, stuff in the garden, and it's all about plants, but... Yeah, it's her day, so she can do whatever she wants.
Yeah. Oh, this year, I'm in my living room. Kitchen is right around the corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I brought in a box from the garage that came, you know, that was delivered. And I didn't think much about it. John orders things all the time on Amazon. So it's like, oh, what arrived today? So didn't think about it. So I hear John and my daughter Olivia in the kitchen, and John goes, oh, Mother's Day. And then they hear Liv go, shh, where's Mom? And then I hear John say, oh, the cutting board's here. And then I hear Liv say, where's Mom? And I said, I'm right here.
I can't hear you. What cutting board? I don't know what you're talking about.
So that I haven't opened it yet, but I'm getting a cutting board.
Well, act surprised.
Well, they know I was right there.
Oh, okay. Then just say, I knew it.
I knew it. Right. So that's lovely, though.
Yeah, we snuck them in for Amy this year, so
ooh.
She'll be surprised.
Oh, good.
I hope.
Good.
Or I'll get the eye roll.
Well, I know my job's just not big on holidays. Like, Valentine's Day is just not a thing. Like,
no, I think after you've been married for a while, it kind of, I don't want to say goes away, but, I mean, you're a couple. You're there. After 37 years of marriage, Valentine's Day isn't our day anymore.
Right.
It's for younger relationships.
Yeah. I mean, remember when you were young? You were, like, before you were married and you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you're like, you sweated it, man. You were like.
Yeah, because you didn't want to screw it up, which I usually did, I think. But, yeah, you're right.
Have you ever really? Like, what was the worst?
Oh, I don't know. And if I remembered, I probably wouldn't want to tell you. But, you know, you watch this stuff on TV, and I've never pulled off a TV Valentine's Day, you know?
No.
Yeah, no, I'm dropping that hot potato right there.
Right. when John and I, oh, gosh, we've been together 15 years, and our relationship was progressing, and he hated my dishwasher. And we weren't living together yet. We were dating. hated my dishwasher. So
that's a pretty interesting thing to hate.
I know. He was.
But I can't wait to hear this story.
So anyway, well, long story short, he gets a new dishwasher, and he kept saying, this is more for me than for you, because it was at my house, not his house. And that it was delivered, and he's there, and he goes, well, honey, here's your ring. So now that's the family joke, that the dishwasher
was the engagement
ring. So, yeah, my daughter repeatedly tells him, that will not be happening in my life.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
It had been hard to show people.
I know. Come in and look at its sparkle. The C's of a ring, clarity, color. The clarity, it cleans so well. It's stainless steel. Anyway, that was my funny story.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But so what do you got planned today after the show?
Oh, I got to mow. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Almost every day.
Yeah, yeah. And we have dandelions coming up the wazoo. And I'm waiting for the darn cicadas to come out.
Yeah.
They're going to be here.
Looking forward to that.
They say end of May, I think. They're supposed to. The ground has to be 64 degrees.
I remember them coming, God, I think 1976. This is scary. So I was in sixth grade, the way I remember it.
Okay.
So when we had that big cicada hit. I don't know if you recall that or not.
Well, 17 years ago, I can't do math. I was on Geneva Street in Lake Geneva, and they were so thick. I had to shovel them.
That's right.
I used a shovel. There were so many in my backyard.
Well, I was a kid. We were living in Como, and I remember them being horrible. You couldn't sleep at night. They were everywhere, but I remember it being in the fall, not the cold fall, but like the beginning of school.
Really?
Or maybe it was the end of school. Now that you said May, I don't know. But I do remember, and it was deafening. They were everywhere, but I don't remember seeing it that bad since.
Oh,
I think it depends on your area.
Yeah.
Because I know 17 years ago, we were still living in the city of Elkhorn, and we didn't have them bad. Not bad at all.
Oh, my God. They were.
But Lake Geneva was bad. I do recall that.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And my kid was little, and she wouldn't go out the back door to go to school.
They were freaky.
Oh, yeah. She was. And then, of course, you know, I was kind of mean, and once in a while I'd chase her around with one because I'm not afraid of them. She's like, Mom, I probably. Probably scarred her for life.
One?
Yeah.
Was it dipped in chocolate?
Oh, yeah.
Was it good?
No. No.
No.
No.
No, it was horrible.
That exoskeleton was crunchy. No. And thank God all I could really taste was the chocolate. But
yeah.
It was bad.
I remember them talking about the delicacy of the locust, you know, dipped in chocolate. Mm. You know, I want to say fry, but I can't remember now. But that's funny because the only person I know that has ever admitted to having one. But not so good, huh?
No, we had a block party in our neighborhood, and somebody, of course, had them. And so I was dared. And I'm the kind
well,
of,
yeah.
So double dog dare you. All right. I gotta. So well, I did, and it was terrible. So I don't
recommend then you know.
It. I have seen recipes on Facebook for, like, ways to prepare them. No. Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'm thinking my military days are gone. I don't try weird food like that anymore.
No, we don't have to.
I had quite the experiences in Korea. Had some pretty exotic foods there, let's say. And, not anymore.
No, okay.
No, I'm not eating snake anymore.
No.
No.
What's
not eating dog anymore.
Is there, okay, you mentioned two things. Is there, like, were there a couple things that you're like, oh, how do people do this?
Worm soup.
Worm soup.
Worm soup, Korea.
Oh.
Yeah. We went out with, so every military unit had Korean soldiers assigned to them. And the acronym was KATUSA, KATUSA. And it was Korean Augment to United States Army.
Okay.
Okay. And they served as an interpreter. And also I was a military police officer I was in, so they served as like your partner, and you handled calls together and all that. And, you know, you worked with them. You befriended them. They're nice guys. We all pretty much got along. But they occasionally would take us out, and we'd go out on the economy and eat like a Korean would eat, not like visiting American. And we had some really good food, and we had some really weird food. And I tried just about everything, but when the worm soup came out, ugh, I was done. I couldn't do it.
Oh. Yep. My daughter got back from South Korea fairly recently. She taught English for a year there.
That's right. We've talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I went to visit her last summer, and we went to this huge open market. Culturally, one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It was so cool. People,
they had fishes and meats and
octopi, yep, and squid and
the meat market.
Yeah.
That's what we called it, yeah.
And my favorite dish actually was a vegetarian dish. It was called bibimbap. And it was rice and mushrooms, kind of in a brownish sauce,
mm-hmm,
that other vegetables that I don't know the names of. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. Squid and octopus,
a little different.
Not my favorite.
Deep fried is good. Raw is weird.
Well, I mean, I love calamari.
Yep.
You know, fried. Well, anything's good fried.
So did you get any true kimchi?
No.
Oh, yeah. Kimchi's
true. Yeah, kimchi, yes.
Yeah.
My daughter loves it.
Awful spicy.
I tried it super hot.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe it was the texture and it, you know. We saw in Korea these huge urns outside of people's houses where,
yep,
they pickle the stuff.
Right. Yeah, they bury it and let it ferment.
Yeah. And
and it's their staple. Everyone thinks it's rice. It's not. It's kimchi.
Yeah.
They have kimchi all the time.
It's cabbage.
Okay. Yeah, rotten cabbage.
It's rotten cabbage.
And it has got a very unique, pungent, will not leave your nose for several days odor.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, on your breath, pouring out your pores. Yeah. Yep.
You can get it. My daughter will get jars of it. I mean, you can get it at the Pig in Lake Geneva at groceries,
oh, really?
Local grocery stores, jars of it. And I got to say, even though it wasn't my favorite thing, but it was, you know, the authentic stuff over there was way better than the pickled stuff over here.
I was going to ask how it was out of the jar, because I've tried some Korean stuff here, it's not the same.
Mm-mm.
It was much better in country.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I was definitely out of my comfort zone. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
I recommend trying different things.
Yes.
Gotta live.
Sometimes you don't want to know what it is until you're done eating it.
Yeah.
And then you just deal with it afterwards.
Right.
That was kegogi for me. That was dog.
Oh, okay.
That was, yeah, it was good while I was eating it, and then when they told me, it just kind of turned in my stomach,
yeah,
in my head, because it was psychological. There was, yeah, nothing wrong with it, but it got in my head.
Yeah, so that would be...
How long were you there? I forget.
I only visited for 10 days.
Okay, so about the time you got used to the flight being over, you had to go back.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
a long flight.
Oh, we didn't sleep coming back for 27 hours. Because we flew from Chicago to San Francisco and then,
okay,
into Incheon, which is outside of Seoul. And going over was easier as far as jet lag,
mm-hmm,
than coming home.
Well, the excitement.
Yeah, I was. I was,
yeah,
so excited.
It was same for me. Well, coming home was kind of bad because we were acclimated to getting out of there, and there was a lot of celebrating. On the way back. So, yeah, it was a good flight. I was there for a year, and it was definitely time to go.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I had a good time there. I have zero regrets. Just didn't want to stay any longer, and I did.
Okay. Yeah, culturally, I did not see any Korean women wearing leggings. They did. I mean, this was last summer.
Right.
Just their fashion sense, just lovely that the kids dress up. I mean, I'm talking about young, like 18, 19, mm-hmm, 20-year-olds. They look nice. They're dressed up. They're not in torn jeans and sweatshirts and, well, it was summer. It was oppressively,
yeah,
hot.
Oh, but, humid.
Oh, my God. It was so
especially
hot.
Down in Incheon.
Yeah. It was,
yeah,
so
it
hot.
Yeah, it was bad. I was in Seoul. I was at... the name of the installation was Yongsan, and we were right outside of party capital. which was a little village called Itaewon. And that was the party spot in Korea at the time. But, yeah, the weather, oh, my God. High humidity.
Oh, unreal. You think our summers are hot here?
It's nothing. And their winters, oh, my God. You don't know cold until you've been to Korea.
Wow.
And it's psychological because at, like, 20 degrees, the humidity level can still be 85-90%.
Huh.
So 20 degrees with green grass and trees with leaves on them, you are freezing your butts off.
Oh, I haven't. We were there in the summer.
I got there in April of 84, and the weather's already bad. And we're like halfway through summer, so June, July-ish. I'm crying like a little girl. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
We had no air in the barracks, so you couldn't get away from it. You'd rip T-shirts off because you couldn't get them off. They were stuck to you. And I was telling one of the guys, I cannot wait for winter. And he said, listen, it gets cold here in the winter. I said, listen, pal, I'm from Wisconsin. I can handle cold.
Yeah.
He goes, not this cold.
Oh, my goodness.
So winter comes around. I'm all excited. And it started getting cold, and it got colder and colder and colder. And I'm here to tell you, there is no cold like Korea cold.
Wow.
I'm sure Alaska, other places I haven't been are bad. But at that time in my life, my God, that was the coldest place I've ever been. And I've been midwinter up in north of Eagle River. I've been, you know,
right
around the state. But we have a dry cold.
Yeah.
Which sounds weird, but it makes a huge difference.
Okay.
That high humidity cold, oh, cuts right through you.
Huh. When they say it's not the heat or the cold, it's the humidity.
Absolutely. Well, you hear stories about Korea and how the guys were freezing to death and stuff like that. That's true.
Wow.
It was brutal over there.
Wow. So maybe better to be there when it was oppressively hot.
Nah, I'll just stay right where I'm at.
Anyway, we got to plug Tom, Mr. Future Lake Geneva.
Well,
it could happen.
Well, it could. We all have a chance at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be
a nice bonus.
You're all the guys in it are amazing.
Oh, absolutely. What a great group of guys. Everyone is, you know, involved in the community, and they're a blast. I've been to not all, but several of the fundraisers, and never a boring time.
Nice.
Always a good time.
Good.
Yeah. So.
Okay. But what's coming up with you?
Well, with me, I'm continuing to try and hone my craft. You'll have to come and watch. But we have some fundraisers coming up. We have on May 19th at 1 o'clock, we'll be out at Churchill's Lounge. It's on the north shore of Delavan.
Okay.
And we'll be doing a meat raffle there. Got a lot of good meats coming in. A couple surprise cuts in there.
Ooh.
So you got to come check it out. We'll also have several raffle items and be doing a 50-50 raffle. And again, all the proceeds, everything that we make goes to the Treehouse Child and Family Center. So, you know, come on out. The more the merrier. It's all about making money for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it benefits me in the competition, but the money, all of it goes to the Treehouse, Coco over there. So, and that's really what my goal is, to, you know, get as much as we can for them, because they really are the winners in this.
Right, right.
As far as I'm concerned. So, but that's my next fundraiser, and we got a couple more after that.
Okay.
So we got on May 25th at DJ's in the Drink, we're doing another meat raffle.
Nice.
And there'll be some stuff there that you can bid on for raffles, but we're not doing that until the following day on May 26th. Actually, I should back up and say 2 o'clock on May 25th for the meat raffle.
Okay.
So come on down. DJ's is a really fun bar.
Oh, I was just there recently. I love that place.
Carly does a great job down there, her and her sister. And they've been just really nice to me. And the whole community. They do fundraisers all the time down there. So great people, great place, great food. Their food is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing that on the 25th at 2, and then the 26th is the motorcycle ride. And that starts at 9 a.m. Come down, register. We're going to hit a few bars and head back there. And we have a ton of pretty cool raffle prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Just to tease you a little bit, there's a custom-built Anirondack bench. It's a two-seater with a bench in the middle. It may or may not wind up on the internet here pretty soon so people can look at it, but it's a pretty nice pretty nice piece, and we've got a 75-inch flat screen that's going to be auctioned off. So there's some cool auction prizes that people should come and check out.
That's not swag. That's like hardcore prizes.
I'm up against some pretty stiff competition. We need to, you know,
you're trying to step up
out.
Your game.
I'm trying to keep up. These guys are, I'm telling you, they're killing it.
Yeah.
It's really impressive what the other contestants are doing, and I'm just trying to hold my own. So we'll, you know, in the end, of course, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, the ride's going to be a lot of fun. It's $30 a vehicle, so it doesn't matter if you bring a bike or a car or whatever. It's $30 for the vehicle and whoever's on it or in it. At the end of the ride, you have a meal.
Okay.
DJ's is hooking us up with some food. And then the party begins, you know.
Right on.
Good people, good fun. Again, good raffle prizes. It'll be a blast.
All right.
And then on June 1st at 7 p.m., that's when the competition starts.
Is that a Badger?
That's at Badger. It's going to be in the auditorium. You may want to buy tickets in advance, and you can get those at, if you go to Lakes Area Lifeway, you can get the tickets through them. You can also get them at the door, but I got a feeling it might be sold out. I'm kind of hoping it is. That's
well,
what
yeah.
We're pushing for.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to see anybody turned away, but yeah, we got to fill that auditorium up. All the money at the door goes to Lifeway. So the contestants, we're all raising money for our charities through our fundraising events.
Okay.
And all that money goes to them. But the money at the door, that's Lifeway's, and that keeps them going. You know, so it's important to go watch this, too. It's important to support Kelly at Lifeway. And you're going to have a blast.
Can you tell me, what is Lifeway?
Lakes Area Lifeway, it's a nonprofit organization, and they raise money to help people. This Mr. Lake Geneva started out with 3 years ago where Kelly, they were raising money for the Never Say Never Playground.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard about that.
Yep.
And the way she did it was with the Mr. Lake Geneva contest. And I have to say contest.
Why?
Because guys are involved in it. It can't be a pageant. It's just the way it is.
I've seen these before. And ladies, the boys bring it on. They perform. They twirl and everything. So it is a
pageant.
Yeah,
we twirl. We turn. We do things that we don't normally do. But, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Anyhow, so the first year they raised like $43,000 for the Never Say Never Playground.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so Kelly did it again. Kelly and her crew. She's got a lot of support. But last year, the contestants picked charities that Lifeway helps. And collectively they raised like, I think it was $72,000,
$73,000.
Wow. Phenomenal.
That's
well,
a
this
chunk
year
of
we're
change.
Looking to beat them.
Yeah.
You know, we want to raise more than that. And a lot of the guys, they're on track for it.
Nice.
So that's our goal for this year. But this year, we were allowed to pick the charities that we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose the Treehouse. So
amazing.
But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I was super nervous going into this. I'm still a little bit nervous.
I'm just waiting to see you in that
blast.
Speedo.
Yeah. We've talked about that.
Or
nobody wants to see me in a Speedo.
Tutu or some high heels.
Or yeah, no, I'm not going to be wearing a dress or heels. No, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. That's why it's a contest.
Okay.
Not a pageant.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Thank
oh,
you
you're
so
welcome.
Much. And we want to thank Gator for coming in. And, yeah, we'll see you down the road. Nancy will be back. And she has allowed me to come in and
Hang out,
and I appreciate that.
I appreciate you coming in. This has been fun.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do it again someday.
I know, right? All right, this is Life Matters on Lake 96.1.